Gerritsen and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
We are back with another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside producer Jake Gutierrez. What a destruction, we should say. What a unwatchable game there was last night. I still can't even think of the words. That looked like a JV high school football game where all of the starters got to go in and play for the entire game. I should say varsity starters at that. If this does not bring an end to the Brandon Staley era in LA, I don't know what will. And in fact, if he's not fired before the end of this show, I would be stunned. Absolutely stunned. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, none whatsoever. Well, last night, a Raiders team that didn't score against the Vikings, last Sunday it would have been, they found a way to hang 63 points on the Chargers. And if you needed a sign, a message to know the Chargers have completely given up on their coach, that was it. That was it. That was it in the first quarter, I might add. I mean, there is nothing you can say or make an excuse of to give up 63 points in the NFL. There's no way that can happen. You can't give up 63 points even if you played your reserves all game long. I mean, think about this. If the Chiefs played everybody and they're too deep, they're not even close to giving up 63 points. And especially not against Aiden O'Connell. That's the difference here. The Raiders are using a backup quarterback and hung 63. I can't even fathom that. That blows me away. I mean, at the end of the day, the NFL, as much as we will just treat them like players and only care about fantasy and wins and losses, these are human beings, right? And when a human being is led by a non-leader, I guess I should say. I don't want to be too harsh and say an idiot, but I'm kind of struggling to find other words for it. I mean, seriously, this team gave up on their coach long ago, but this was the sign to go and get rid of Brandon Staley. No way around it. No way around it whatsoever that you can look your team in the eye. You can look Justin Herbert in the eye and say, we're trying to win here. Now, Brandon Staley in the postgame, he said he didn't know if he'd be the coach by tomorrow morning, but he did say he deserves to be the coach. When asked if he was deserving, he said yes. And of course, he's going to say that. If you were shocked that he said something like that, he's not going to go out there and say, I shouldn't be, right? He feels like what he's built there over the last 3 years, though largely unimpressive, he thinks he deserves another chance. But this was his chance. Let's be honest. Last offseason, he should have been canned. No way around that. I remember how stunned I was and really how gutted I felt for Justin Herbert that they were going to go through another year of just taking it on the chin with Brandon Staley. It was never a good move. We all fell in love. No, I'm not going to say we all. A lot of people fell in love with Brandon Staley because in year one, what did he do? Well, it was three games into his tenure, he goes into Arrowhead Stadium and beats Patrick Mahomes. Why? Because he went for it on every single fourth down against a bad Chiefs defense. Remember, it was like fourth and three from their own 25, went for it. Fourth and seven with the game on the line, went for it. And they were converting. Fourth and goal, fourth and two, didn't matter. And he continued that philosophy throughout the season. They never really stopped that style of play. And when it stopped working, when they would go for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 30 and get stuffed, it made him look like an idiot. And it made him look like so much of an idiot that he kind of got gun-shy in year two and year three. He stopped doing it. And then your identity as a coach is gone. What you did successful, your aggression, your over-aggression, almost treating it like Madden 25, just going for it no matter what. When that wore off, it was over. And this year, at no point in time did the Chargers have a remote chance. And anybody that believed it was foolish. This team now gets older. They can't stay healthy. Their star quarterback has hundreds of millions of dollars and is going to be coming off finger surgery. You're probably going to lose Austin Eckler. You're probably going to lose Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is at back-to-back season-ending injuries. Quentin Johnston is a bust. I mean, where do you go from here? Is it teardown mode? I would say no. You're in L.A. You have a shiny new stadium. But you can't screw up another hire. You got to go find somebody. I believe their man-in-waiting, if you will, is Kellen Moore. I think they're going to give Kellen Moore a chance, but Kellen Moore's never done this before. You need somebody like what the Broncos did with Sean Payton. You need somebody that can overhaul this group in just 1 year. I mean, you have Justin Herbert. You're wasting the prime years of Herbert. I mean, I would argue at the top of his game, he's a top five quarterback. But we didn't really see that this year because Mike Williams got hurt from the get-go. Keenan Allen got banged up. Austin Eckler's been bad. Quentin Johnston is a bust. A tight end play, Gerald Everett. I mean, nothing. Nothing seems to be coming into fruition for the young career of Justin Herbert. And I really want to point the blame at Brandon Staley. Jake's got the post-game audio pulled up of Brandon Staley. I mean, he seems like a broken man. Who wouldn't be when you give up 63 points to the Las Vegas Raiders? But he still believes he should be here today.
Do you expect to be the coach here tomorrow?
I don't know that.
Do you think you should be?
Yes.
Why?
I know that what I've done here for 3 years, and I know what I put into this, and I know that we're capable of going. I know the type of coach that I am. I believe in myself. But again, this isn't about me. This is about a group that's hurting in there. We got to get some rest, and we got to get ready for Buffalo.
And don't you just hate it when coaches speak is used in that? Yeah, we got to get ready for Buffalo. I know there's nothing else you can really say, but when you get your ass kicked like that, I mean, that is a pride thing there. I mean, if I was Brandon Staley, let's be honest, I'm going into that press conference expecting deep down it to be my last. What's holding you back? I mean, not to throw any of your players under the bus, but show a little bit more fire and intensity. You just lost by 42 points on primetime television to a team with a backup quarterback who was equally as bad, who didn't score the prior week, who were a part of a game, 3-0, that hadn't happened since 2007. Where's the fire? Where's the passion? Like, I think if it were me, I would look back and go, that was my chance to show how much I care. I think Brandon Staley cares. I think every coach in the NFL truly cares, but not like that. This is a team that is just broken mentally. And you know what? We're going to get 4 months from now, 5 months from now, and the Chargers will be picked to win the AFC West again. It's a tale as old as time. But maybe when you see an end like this, nobody will. I mean, we were having midseason predictions, not here on the show, but nationally, and the Chargers would find a way to go win the AFC West. Like, there's never been any data to back it up. They're not a good football team. They're not a well-coached football team. And their team is aging. They're not some young, fun group. They are tied up in money with Bosa, Mack, Allen, Williams, Eckler, Herbert. There's so many guys they're paying, and they're not winning any games. And it's been that way for a long time. To me, and I'm not saying this just because we're based here in Kansas City, why would it not be teardown time? I mean, do you feel like you can go win with Herbert now? I mean, what other than Well, if we stay healthy, we'll win. That seems like a big if. That has not been true for the last 3 years. You got to have some form of proof how you are going to be better next year. You're not going to be spending. You're going to lose your pass-catching running back. You might lose Keenan Allen, but even if you don't, he's nearing his mid-30s. You know, it does not feel like a good spot for the Chargers right now. They kind of went all in to do this thing. Remember, they went out for J.C. Jackson. They gave Mike Williams the extension. They went out for Khalil Mack, and all they have to show for it was a blown 4-score lead in the playoffs to Trevor Lawrence, who threw 4 picks in the first half. And this year, you're likely going to finish in the basement of the AFC West. You're going to lose double-digit games. Why not start over? What is stopping you? Some teams have to look themselves in the mirror and realize it ain't going to happen. Now, we discussed this yesterday, right, Jake, with the first overall pick. You know, calling Chicago, who's got this pick from Carolina, and going, hey, here's Herbert. You give us Fields. And maybe the number one overall pick. I don't think Chicago would do that because if they value Justin Fields a lot, maybe they don't want to get Herbert without any weapons to help him with, because Herbert would have less weapons in Chicago. But like, those are the type of moves I think I'm trying to move the needle with. If you think you can win next year, by all means, go all in. Go all in. But they've done that now for 4 years, and nothing's changed. Has anything the Chargers done made you feel differently about them? No. And now they're going to be losing all those guys that made them special. The defense sucks, and it's a very expensive defense. The offense is good. It's not healthy. It's never healthy. And we saw last night, when all those injuries pile up, you give up 63 points to the Raiders. Brandon Staley should not be the coach by the end of this segment. I'm still refreshing and trying to find a breaking news tweet that Brandon Staley's no longer here. Jake, I don't know how much of the game you got to watch last night.
Well, I watched the first half.
First half.
And then I was like, yeah, enough. Enough.
I kept refreshing Yahoo Sports. Just occasionally I was doing something else. Once I thought it was 21-0, I'm like, okay, I don't need to tune in, because it was Easton Stick and Aiden O'Connell. But it was I remember this in high school. I played a JV football game and was down 42-0 at half. And I thought, that's pretty hard to give up 42 points and not score in a high school JV game. Never could I have imagined 42-0 was possible in an NFL game. I mean, that's just the lowest of low. That loss last night was worse than what happened to Denver, 70-20. 100% worse. Because at least Miami's a good football team with explosive players. The Raiders didn't have that. It was just Aiden O'Connell dicing them up and forcing turnovers. But overall, looking at this Chargers situation, if you are the GM, how are you approaching this?
Woof. I mean, look, hindsight's 2020, and it's revisionist history, but after they blew that game to Jacksonville last year, like, you're done. Like, that alone, giving up that lead in a playoff game, I mean, the guy should, I think, that's grounds to fire somebody alone. Like, So in my opinion, like, they should, and also it wasn't a secret out in California. Sean Payton was working for a television network out there.
Yeah.
He wanted that job.
He did.
And they missed their opportunity. Mm-hmm. That was the move. You fire him last year. You hire Sean Payton. I mean, if given the option last year between the Broncos and the Chargers, which team do you think Payton would have taken?
Yeah, hands down, it would have been L.A. You wouldn't have to move far.
Right, wouldn't have to move. You'd be in California. Now it's – I don't know. I'm hoping they don't fire him, because the Chiefs play him in about 3 weeks, and you know.
You think they're going to be a motivated bunch?
No. I mean, that team is, take a fork out of them. They're done. It's hard to remember a team just absolutely getting a beat down like that I've seen. I've seen a lot of football in my life. That was a beatdown unlike any I've seen. The team had just – look, they walked on that field and they had no hope that they were going to win that game the moment they walked down on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have Herbert under center, you at least think you have a chance. There was no fight in that team whatsoever. So, Staley's done. It's a matter of time. I don't know what, you know, what's the right time, when, yesterday. I mean, I think one of the analysts on the halftime show said, you know, unprecedented, no coach has been fired in game, but they should go in the locker room and fire him now.
If you want to show that it matters, why what was there to gain by letting him do a post-game? Is it other than just that's kind of humiliating a guy up there that you gave confidence in? Like, I think it would have been, you know, for a GM to fire a guy first time ever midway through a game. But, I mean, you thought this was going to go differently. Speaking of the Chargers front office, you thought things were going to go differently. And they went worse. They went worse. Who is the replacement now, Jake? Is it Kellen Moore? I think it's like you hired Kellen Moore for a reason. It was not to be the OC for Brandon Staley for years. It was, if things go wrong, things go south, he's the head coach.
I would say, if it's me, no. I don't think Kellen Moore is – look, there's two things going on with Kellen Moore, because that offense looks – I mean, even with Herbert, it has not looked good. And then you look at what's going on in Dallas now, right?
Yeah.
Like, look at what's going on in Dallas. Dallas looks way better without Kellen Moore.
That is true.
And so those are two discrepancies against his resume. I mean, I don't know. An interesting thought is, you know, the Chiefs face the Patriots this weekend, and there's all kinds of, you know, Bill Belichick's being asked about his job out
man.
There. I mean, do you bring in the hoodie? I don't know. Would you? I mean, if with that team,
mm-hmm.
and you're the GM, you're the owner.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Kellen Moore or would you rather have Bill Belichick?
I think I'd rather go Belichick.
Right.
But is the only way you convince Belichick to go there is he gets the same power he has in Foxborough?
Well, I don't think that. I mean,
or does he have it anymore now that he's had back to back bad seasons?
I think one, you're going to have to trade for Bill Belichick because he's under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out and trade him, and then you have an understanding when you're making the trade. Hey, we're bringing you in to revamp this team, but you're going to be working with a GM of our choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, Belichick has a lot to prove at this point in time, because, you know, going into it was always going to be interesting to see what was he going to do without Brady. You know, as soon as Brady left and you know, went to Tampa Bay, now it's like, who was the real genius? Was it Tom Brady or was it Bill Belichick? I tend to say it was both. But also, it's pretty damning evidence that you haven't made the playoffs in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I'm looking at that situation, I mean, because that roster is a good roster. I mean, it's a good roster.
Yeah.
I mean, they have players. So I think that might be enticing, because I think the writing's on the wall out in New England. So, I mean, that might be a door I'd knock on if I were the Chargers. Other than that, I mean, I haven't had time to really dive into some coaching candidates, but off the top of my head, for some reason, I've never been a big Kellen Moore guy. I don't know. I know that there's always been huge hype around him, and they kind of – I felt like they thought about hiring him as the head coach in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Before they got McCarthy, but you know, he was a candidate for sure, but you know that went sideways, and he, you know, the Chargers came in and hired him to fix Herbert and this offense, and that hasn't happened. So, I mean, I don't see the love that Kellen Moore gets.
He's young.
Yeah.
I think it's like he's a young offensive-minded coach,
and it's like, that's the hot thing, right? It was McVay, and then it was LaFleur and Shanahan and all these young guys, these mm-hmm. offensive minds, McDaniels. And, like, that seemingly has been, like, that's what you do. You go hire the hot young, you know, offensive mind and bring him in. I don't think – I mean, look, those four situations I just named, LaFleur is doing pretty good. You know, not great, but pretty good. You know, he got to the NFC Championship game when Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback. But, you know, he's working with Jordan Love, and I think there's a lot of promise there. I don't hate that situation. You know, Shanahan, you know, he's a little bit different just because his teeth were cut, you know, in a different cloth, you know, under his father. And
very much
he's got
so.
A little bit more age to him than, you know, than McDaniels and I mean, he's probably around the same age as McVay, but, you know, though I kind of put McVay and Shanahan in a different category as I do, like, McDaniels and LaFleur and Kellen Moore, if he was to be named. You know, that's kind of a different category. I think McVay obviously has proven himself by winning a Super Bowl, and Shanahan by getting there and you know, winning an NFC championship, and the team that they're rolling with right now looks like a juggernaut if they're healthy. So... you know, I don't know. It, just off the top of my head, off the cusp, maybe Belichick might be something. I you know, that shows. I don't know. At least your fan base, whatever fan base there really is in LA, because there's not much of
not
one,
much,
honestly. Mm-hmm. But hey, we're bringing in maybe arguably the best coach of all time to fix this. You know, I don't know. I don't think that would be a glittery splash, but it would. It would show that you mean business to some level.
I almost wonder if they'll give Justin Herbert any say, because I think they absolutely wasted 3 years of his career by going out and getting a defensive-minded coach. Like, that was always the baffling thing of this, is Brandon Staley wasn't some offensive guru. I felt like they even interviewed Brian Daboll, didn't they? And they could have had Daboll and decided to pass on him. And Brian Daboll last year took Daniel Jones and the Giants in the postseason and won a road playoff game. This year, different, but they've also won 3 in a row with Tommy DeVito. Like, how are things different in L.A. if Brian Daboll is the guy? Brandon Staley may go down as one of the worst hirings that we had seen in the last 5 to 10 years. And not record-wise, there's been some pretty bad hires. Like, I think the Hugh Jackson hire in Cleveland was probably the worst hire ever, because he won one football game over, what was it, 2 years? Like, that to me, just record-wise, has to be the answer. But in terms of what you had on your plate, the talent, you were gifted the keys, really, to a Ferrari. A top-five quarterback, weapons everywhere. You got to spend money on Khalil Mack and Bosa and J.C. Jackson, and this team got to the playoffs once. And it was a road playoff game, and they blew a 4-score lead. That's the highlight. That's the best thing that happened, was making the postseason and leading at 27-0. That's it. And then to have the owner and the front office stand behind you and say, we believe in you. It's going to be different this year. We're going to get back to that spot. We can win this division. The Chiefs didn't do anything. You know, Denver, they still got their problems, and the Raiders are not going to be anywhere near the hunt. And yet you're going to finish dead last? Like, that's just an overall awful look from front office. Because if you do something like this, if you gamble, you gotta make sure this gamble has jobs on the line everywhere, not just Brandon Staley. Like, whoever the talking head was that says, hey, we can't move on from him, that head has to roll. Because you just wasted another year. And I know Justin Herbert's locked up in a big-time contract, but at that point it's, did he screw himself? I mean, he is playing in L.A., you know, big city, big market, brand new stadium.
He is the highest paid player in the NFL.
Highest
right now.
Paid, but is he ever going
to
win?
I mean, the funny thing is they brought Staley in to be a defensive-minded coach.
Mm-hmm.
His 3 seasons in L.A., his defense is ranked 25th, 22nd, and now they're 29th this year.
Mm-hmm.
When Anthony Lynn, who was a previous coach of this team, mm-hmm. when he was the head coach, his last season, they were ranked 10th.
I never understood what they fired Anthony Lynn either. It felt like there was this pride they took as in, we're so much better than this. And teams have made that mistake far too often, thinking you are so much better. Cleveland did that. Remember, Cleveland did it with Baker, honestly, with quarterback play. Is they looked at Baker, he took him to the playoffs, he lost to Kansas City, had one bad year after that, and it was, all right, we're moving on.
Well, and it was also... I think they looked at this division as like, we got to do something because the Chiefs are looking like they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's their move. That was their counter to what was going on in Kansas City. Not very good.
And what a bad counter.
Yeah.
Again, no word yet. No breaking news yet of Brandon Staley. I will be so floored if he makes it through the day. If he makes it through the day, I don't know. Maybe the Chargers look at it and go three games left. It's not changing anything. Nobody. We're not playing for anything at all. But that is really the big thought about it. We do have some breaking news. The Royals, who have been so active, just went out and got Michael Wacha on a two-year deal worth $32 million. So they just keep moving. We'll take a break and talk about that next on ESPN Kansas City. We are back here on The Shift on ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. The Dodgers, I think, have been the most active in free agency, getting Shohei Ohtani and then going out and trading for Tyler Glass now. Right behind them, the Kansas City Royals. Before 10:45, the Royals once again went out and made another move. They got Hunter Renfroe to start in right field, signed him to a one-year, $6.5 million deal. There is a second-year option that can be worth up to $13 million. Then they go out and grab one of the top names on the pitching market in Michael Wacha.
Wacha, Wacha.
There you go. The rotation is finally filled out. Wacha, Reagans, Lugo, Singer, Lyles for now.
Wacha, Wacha.
I think you got to feel really good about the state of this Royals team, about this front office. They're going to go try and win a division here. This is a very aggressive bunch. This is the offseason that I think every Royals fan was hoping for. They are wheeling and dealing. And they went to the market. They in most years, let the market come to them. Now, the numbers on that Wacha deal, two-year, $32 million, that was under his market value, $16 million. It just has been the perfect type of offseason to go out there and compete. This is one of those teams that needed so much of an overhaul. Really so much of an overhaul. And they had money to spend, let's be honest. They had money to spend, but they were always waiting in this rebuild for let's go out there and win 75 to 80 games. The young core comes together, and then we'll go out there and spend. You know, the same way they did back in 13 and 14. They wanted to see the core win, and then they wanted to go give them help. The unfortunate reality is that they couldn't bring themselves to admit that this is how things had to be, I believe. I think when they lost 106, it was, we're not going to see this core without help get to where we want it to be. And in the landscape of baseball, you have to spend to compete. That's just what it is now. And it's how teams are trying to fix themselves. It's how they are trying to go about things. They want to show, hey, in a terrible division like the Central, we can compete if we raise the floor of this team. The bullpen had its floor raised. The lineup has had its floor raised. And the rotation, the most important thing it needed to raise, they got it done. They got it done. I got to tip my cap to J.J. Piccolo and company. They said they were going to spend money. They've done that. They said the bare minimum they were going to add to the payroll, and that was what they lost from last year, about $30 million. And there were some people that said, oh, it'll be just about $30 million or under that. They've shattered that. They're near $50 million now with Michael Wacha and his $16 million a year contract. I mean, wow. They did not wait around. They did not wait around whatsoever. I think this rotation is good enough to compete. Michael Wacha was fantastic last year, and Seth Lugo was fantastic for the Padres. They have an identity now in trying to build this consistency. And the Royals, credit to them. Credit to them. They're tired of losing. J.J. Bacolo didn't want to go through another season of, you know, having the blame be, well, they never spent any money. They never made any moves. You can't. You can't. This team is trying to win. They are trying to put their chips in and give themselves a fighting chance. Now, I know there's people out there saying, oh, what about Marcus Stroman? Can they still go get Marcus Stroman? I mean, let's baby steps here. Baby steps. I think when they went after Lugo and Waka, you're not getting everybody. I was even shocked they got two of these guys. To me, I thought it was one and done, and let's find a Sean Manaea. Let's find a piece that, you know, can fit them in a club control. Now, you're not spending more than $10 million. But you know the thing about that is if you go out there and get a Michael Lorenzen, you go out there and get yourself a Sean Manaea, you are just banking on them being good. Waka and Lugo, you know, have good numbers last year and can really anchor down this rotation. It's a perfect fit. It really is. And you go around baseball right now, people are applauding the Royals. And this is what baseball wants. Hey, that's the beauty of this. Major League Baseball wants bad teams to do this. That's why they implemented the lottery system. You know, the lottery system made bad teams understand, go out there and not spend anything. Go do what Oakland's going to do this offseason. Right? Oakland's not going to spend any money. Oakland's going to lose 110-plus games. And you know what's going to happen? They'll have top three odds. Are they guaranteed the number one overall pick? No. For their treachery last year, they got the fourth overall pick. The Royals, for their treachery, got the sixth overall pick. What the Royals did is they said, listen, we are not doing that again. Because even if we fall short of our expectation, if we win 75 or 76, we can still get the number one overall pick, technically. We can get a top five pick. We'll take that. But, man, here's the rotation compared to last year. Last year, the Royals had Zach Greinke, Jordan Lyles, Brady Singer, Brad Keller, Chris Bubich. Here is the rotation as it stands right now. Michael Waka, Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, Jordan Lyles. They could move on from Lyles. I doubt at this point. And really, and I am not a Lyles supporter. Hear me out on that. I do not like watching Jordan Lyles pitch. But Jordan Lyles, I think, his suckage, if I can make up a word, amplified last year because the Royals made him the most expensive pitcher in that rotation. And he was the number two or number three. Here, this is from Bob Nightingale. This just, you can't even fathom it, really. The Royals, who had the eighth lowest payroll in baseball last season at $92 million, and now spent $65 million in free agent contracts this winter. Wow. Tip of the cap. That is, you know, when breaking news like this happens, it's always tough to do like three things at once, but trying to find all the information I can. They're trying to go win this damn thing. Not the World Series, okay? That's a pipe dream, of course. You don't lose 106 and say that. But with how bad the Central is, man, go out there and give yourself a fighting chance. This can do that. I love the way this rotation looks. And the fact the Royals, before Christmas, have gone out there and tried to make things happen, man, it's awesome to see. So before 10:45... the Royals got their starting right fielder in Hunter Renfroe, and they went out there and added probably their number one in Michael Waka. So they are just taking everybody off the board, and it looks good on them. We'll see what the projected win total is now for the Royals, but I'd imagine it's a lot higher than it was a month ago. We'll take our second break of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap up the week on ESPN Kansas City. Wrapping up the week on The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. Well, a pretty fun show so far. We talked Brandon Staley and the Chargers to open up the show. There was breaking news in Major League Baseball involving the Royals. They signed Hunter Renfroe and Michael Waka.
Waka, Waka!
Love that on the soundboard. Love it. And hopefully, if Waka ends up being the steal that we're anticipating him to be, We'll use that a lot more come March, April, and May. But, man, this has been quite a whirlwind of 15 minutes. And hey, the other thing about this that I haven't really dissected, talked about, we do need to give some praise here to J.J. Bacolo and John Sherman. John Sherman might have been the most criticized man in Kansas City last year. Oh, he never spends. He's trying to move the team. All he cares about is his downtown stadium. I think the Royals went into last year needing to evaluate, and evaluate they did. And they lost a lot of freaking games. And now it was, okay, we saw who we are. We saw where we were at. And at the end of the day, we still need a lot of help. And they got some help. And he couldn't have done that without the blessing of the owner and John Sherman. It's his money. He's got to give that money. And for a team that didn't spend anything last offseason, it was Lyles and that was it. Excuse me, Lyles and Greinke. Two guys that were just bottom feeders last year. They needed to completely fix this. And I got to say, I'm pretty giddy today. I am giddy. This is a team that is at bare minimum trying to make some noise. We'll see if it actually happens. Now, in the midst of all this news, we still got a game to talk about on Sunday. Chiefs and the Patriots. And this game is going to be, to me, the glue game, if you will. The glue game by the mean of how broken are you? Right? How broken are you? And what have you done to fix it in these last 5 to 6 days? You know, if you come out there on Sunday and punch the Patriots in the mouth, I know that in the aftermath of the Bills game, Jake and I were talking about, I said, there's nothing I can learn from this team. If they beat New England up, nothing I can learn. I've changed my opinion. I have changed my opinion. Because if this team shows a lot of fire and passion in this game to beat up on a lowly opponent, they don't come out flat. They don't come out lackadaisical. You'll know it would be a good week of practice, and maybe these guys have heard all the noise surrounding them, and this is their chance to really go on a run. Now, I'm not saying it has to be a 21-0 first quarter, but it is the way a certain team plays. When you see how they go into a game, punch somebody in the mouth. Perfect example, go back 2 weeks ago, the way Green Bay played against Kansas City. They weren't scared. Now, the Chiefs have nothing to fear in New England. It is a very, very unwatchable team. But here's the other thing. When you have an unwatchable team, what are they? They are a dangerous team to an extent that they have nothing to lose. Now, Bill Belichick, he's not going to want to get humiliated. He's not going to be going for an all the fourth down and stuff like that. But this is a team that has nothing to lose. They just won their last game. Bailey Zappi's got confidence. They know the Chiefs are broken right now. This is where you can make a statement and go, we're not going anywhere. It's still a road win in the playoffs. It's still a road win in the NFL. Those are always tough to come by. You should never apologize for beating up on a bad team. You've got that opportunity. And you know what? It sounds stupid, but I'm kind of glad that Isaiah Pacheco likely isn't playing in this game. You got to find other outlets. Other guys have to step up. You know, even in this last four-game stretch, if there's a game that Travis Kelce is feeling it, and he is banged up, he's hurting, I say you look at it as a rest situation, because what I need to find out, what I need to know, is if this team will have the playmakers that can step up when Pacheco can't get going. You know, if it's Pacheco or Rice or Kelce, we know those guys are going to be there. But when they're not, or if they're not in a postseason game, who can I turn to? Who is going to be the guy? Remember, it's very unlikely that any of those guys do step up in a big-time moment. But we also didn't think about that with MVS in the AFC title game last year. That stuff can't happen. You could have a big game from Justin Watson. You could have a big game from Noah Gray, from Clyde, from McKinnon. One of these guys has to emerge. And I would love to see that on Sunday more than anything. Somebody who we've criticized, heavily criticized, pointed the finger at, they can be that guy. even if it's just for a day, because these games are more important than ever. These are the most important December football games the Chiefs have had in the Patrick Mahomes era, because you know what? A division is on the line. I know in previous years it was, oh, we got to get the one seed. You were always a shoo-in, a one or a two. This year, you got to make sure Denver stays behind you. So now there is more to play for than just that one seed. Jake, if I had to, you know, give you some money to bet on here, you know, we roll up to the casino, you put some money down on one guy in this game. Pacheco's not playing. You know, Kelce and Rice will be there, but there's one guy you want to say, all right, I got to pick one of these guys who's been underachieving. Who's the one to make a difference on Sunday against New England?
Oh, boy. So Kelce off the board, Rice off the board, or just...
They can't. I mean, we just assume they're going to be fine.
Right, okay. I mean, because what Bill Belichick will do, or try to do, is take your top two options away, right? So he's going to try to... He's not going to let Kelce and Rice beat them. That's his MO. He can do that. We've seen him take Kelce out of games before. Man. What a horribly good question. I guess my money's going to go on Richie James.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he had a bad drop. He had a bad drop.
Bad drop, but a great special teams play.
Yeah. I mean, so that's where my money would go, I guess. I mean, if we're just talking about the wide receiver core, that's who I'm going with. If I'm talking about any skill player, I'd McKinnon probably. McKinnon or James. Mm-hmm. Those are the two guys I would belly up to the gambling bar and throw my money on those two guys.
I think we could see a big game from the running back room. I actually love the way Clyde looked against Buffalo. I thought we saw a rookie version of Clyde, if you will. And we know McKinnon can be a big contributor in the postseason. But this is the game you got to show it to me. I'm not overly concerned about what Kelce or Rice does. I'm not, because I know that they've shown it all year long. But where I can start to believe in this team is if they really, and I mean really, can show that somebody else can take the baton. Somebody else can light the torch. Because you know who needs that more than anything right now is number 15. Number 15 needs some trust, needs some faith in guys that haven't shown it all year long. You've had three guys show consistency in Kelce, Rice, and Pacheco. Who's the fourth? Who's the fifth? Because you're not getting far into the postseason if it's just those three guys. If it's just those three, there's a ceiling. There's a limit. And no, just because Clyde or Jerick or Sky Moore, Richie James is a big game on Sunday doesn't mean, hey, they're the number four guy. But that's what I'm evaluating over these last four games. If you can piece it together, make your team feel more compatible, the chemistry's back, everybody feeds off of it, then I think you're more dangerous. Then I think it becomes a situation where, you know, they get hot in January, they are going to be one tough out. We all know that. But you got to give some help. You've got to give some help to your quarterback. You got to give help to Andy Reid, to Matt Nagy. The spotlight has never been hotter on the skill players. Now, Kelce's, you know, said basically something along the lines of, stop talking about our skill players. They're going to be fine. We have faith in them. Mahomes said that. Andy Reid said that. They're giving them the support. That doesn't mean everybody else is going to stop criticizing them, but they're giving you the support. It should be on your end now to make sure that support doesn't look idiotic. That doesn't look stupid. Right? When you look at a guy that constantly fails at his job, but he's always got that one support system. Hey, believe in this guy. He can be something. If you continue to piss away that opportunity, it's going to look bad on that person.
Yeah, those quotes are going to either age well or look horrible.
Exactly. It feels like it's do or die time now. And especially with the AFC West on the line, absolutely do or die time. That's going to do it for another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday, Kansas City. What you say? Hit the road, Jack.
you come back no more.
Oh, woman, don't treat me so mean. You're the meanest old woman that I've ever seen. I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack.